This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
The celebrities have started to arrive, as they always do, here as we get closer to Bud Light Big Game Week ending. Friday's always like the silliest of the silly day in terms of who's walking around here, but today could be competitive by the time we're done. Greg Olson just walked by doing his bits for Fox. Fox has the Super Bowl this year. Jaden Daniels will be in the house later today, I am told. Here's how you know your quarterback's a big deal. I did my thing. I was like, hey, can we get Jaden Daniels on the Fan? And it was, Jaden's just here to do national television. That's it. There's plenty of demand nationally. Jaden's a national star now. And I understand... He's going to be a lot of places and a lot of featured matchups, a lot of featured games this year. I don't think there's going to be a lot of 1 o'clock kickoffs for the Washington Commanders this season. We already had a funny mix-up over here because Moose Johnston joined us in the first segment, who, you remember him from the Cowboys, and he's running the UFL now. He's great. He sits down in the chair here. And so first off, he goes over and he says hey to Brian Mitchell, who's doing D.C. radio, and, B-Mitch knows everybody, and I'd say, we got a couple of minutes, you're good. So he's chatting, dabbing up B-Mitch. He comes over. I take the headset off. We're chatting here before we go on air. And one of the producers from one of the other stations comes over. He goes, is he ready for the segment? And, that's kind of not up to you. He goes, you're booked for our station now. And, I don't think he is. I think we got Moose Johnston. He's sitting in the chair. He's on 910 The Fan. And he goes, it says right here, Bernie Kosar for 10 o'clock. And I don't know if there's a more delicate way to handle this. I don't think I chose the most delicate way to handle this. I said, that's not Bernie Kosar. Because it's not. It's Moose Johnston. And I think it was an embarrassing moment for everybody involved, even me, who did not... I knew who Moose Johnston was the whole time. I know who Bernie Kosar is, and yet I still felt slightly embarrassed to be a part of that overall situation. Macy's back for day two here, Bud Light Big Game Week. You're going to go run down Kendrick Lamar tomorrow. That is your tasking. So I'm excited to hear how this goes, because he will be in the house tomorrow. So we need a little of that celebrity juice tomorrow. You've got your job. Go find Kendrick Lamar. AWOD had the celebrity sighting of the night last night. He chatted with Master P. Although to show the age gap, we both recognized him immediately. I said, hey, that's Master P. AWOD goes, that's Lil Romeo's dad. It's generational. Lil Romeo was not there at the party, but Master P was hanging out, talking hoops with my guy AWOD, so I'm sure he will recount that. During his program, AWOD Radio takes place when we are done in about an hour and 6 minutes. We will hand off to him. Grant and Danny will drive you home. We're having a fun time out here in New Orleans. It's Super Bowl week on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We will take the break here at the top of the hour. When we return, Gordon McGinnis from Pro Football Focus joins us. He will help break down just exactly how special that rookie season was for Jaden Daniels and where the Commanders go from here, because I think we all agree the future is bright, but the future also has a lot of holes. They got a lot of work to do as well. So we'll talk about what the Commanders need to do to remain competitive. The rest of the league's not going to stand still. We'll see what a second season could look like for them. We'll take on all that. We'll take your calls if you've got them. 833-804 1-800-919-0910. Hour number two of MP on the mic is loading. Up next, you're listening
big game
to 910
rolls
The Fan.
On from New Orleans, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
Pleased to be joined now by Pro Football Focus's Director of Media Strategy, Gordon McGinnis. Gordon, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. You've been with PFF forever, in football terms, you know.
Yeah.
For a while.
Since pretty much since the company was founded. So I think I was like the eighth full-time employee back in 2012.
That's incredible. I want to ask you all about the Commanders and Jayden Daniels, of course. But I think people know PFF from, you know, they show the grades on Sunday Night Football. The social media always circulates. You graded too high, you graded too low, whatever. But it's a lot more than that, too. I know.
Yeah, I mean, we supply data to every team in the NFL, pretty much every team in college as well, and it's not, you know, it's not just about the grades. It's also about, you know, tracking what every player does on every snap and allowing teams to categorize that when they're game planning for like the week ahead. If an NFL team, for example, wants to look at their next opponent, what they do on 3rd and 7+, they can tap a couple of buttons and it'll pull up a report, and you can press a button and watch the film and all those plays.
And it's not an exaggeration to say you guys changed the game. You know, everybody does that. You know, when you started, this was new and novel. This is the norm now. If you're not doing this, you're lost.
Yeah, data is huge in football now, whereby, like, if you're not using it to at least some capacity, you are a huge distance behind everyone else.
Absolutely. Now, you're from Scotland.
I am indeed.
All right, so we would do the brief. How'd you get into football?
I was like 14 years old, and I always liked kind of U.S. like TV culture. So like I was a huge professional wrestling fan as a kid, and when I was 14, one night I was like trying to avoid doing my homework, and was just flicking through the TV channels. There was an NFL game on, so I started watching it and was like, "Oh, this is fun," and just very quickly got really into it. Found like the strategy aspect alongside the kind of physical athleticism part really fascinating, and it became like a bit of an obsession, and the guy who founded PFF was based in England, so it just kind of snowballed from there.
That's fantastic. Now, Chris Collinsworth's involved, obviously, and it's really gone fully mainstream now, what you guys do.
Yeah, and that all happened like the year after I first became full-time was when Chris bought the company, and everything just kind of spiraled very quickly and got bigger way quicker than I think we were expecting.
That happens from time to time. Gordon McGinnis joins us from Pro Football Focus. Let's dive into it. Jayden Daniels, I mean, we're still buzzing from that rookie season. Are you able to contextualize for us just how impressive this turnaround was in Washington?
It was incredible, and I think you do put so much of that down to Jayden Daniels and just the offensive system, but from a pure numbers perspective, for us it was the second highest graded rookie season by a quarterback. The only one that we have in our system above that was Russell Wilson in 2012, and that goes back all the way to 2006. So it's a huge number of rookie quarterbacks that have come into the NFL, and Jayden Daniels, the only guy above him, is a guy who's gone on to have like a very long NFL career.
Yeah.
Winning the Super Bowl, all those different things.
I think we'd all sign up for that right now. But it's also a team with a lot of holes and a lot of question marks that duct taped it together with Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. You can't do that forever, obviously. If you're sitting in the Commander's shoes, how do you make sure you get Jayden what he needs going forward?
I think you just have to look at this as there's no team in the NFL right now that knows they have the window they have with a rookie quarterback like the Commanders do. You know, the other teams like the Patriots, the Bears, you feel happy about the fact you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract, but you haven't seen the same highs that you've seen for Jayden Daniels and the Commanders. So I think that just means you're striking while the iron's hot, and that means they're a great fit to be the team that, if the Browns do want to trade Myles Garrett, be aggressive and give up a first-round pick plus to go and make that happen, because you know now you have this window. So if any superstar players do become available that can help elevate this roster, go out and grab them.
And Myles Garrett's going to be a big topic of conversation, obviously. Do you think the Browns will actually part with him, and what's fair here? I mean, we're talking about a pretty significant trade, I would imagine.
I think so, and the tough thing for the Browns is they really have to weigh up how close they think they are to turning it around. If they think they are, get a veteran quarterback and they can be back in the playoffs and all those things, then they probably don't want to trade Myles Garrett. But they are a pretty smart franchise. They do a lot of things from a, you know, when they look at numbers in terms of roster construction and things they do with the salary cap. So I think it's tough to look at that roster and say, we think we're close to going to a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. At which point, Myles Garrett then becomes something that can help you rebuild that team. And with where the Commanders pick at the end of the first round, it's a tough sell to go with just a first round pick. You're potentially looking at two first round picks or a first and a second, something like that. I do think, though, if you're the Commanders, that's probably worth it, because Myles Garrett probably still has 3+ years at a very, very high level. And if you can get that, it's probably going to be better than the two players that you can draft in the first round.
That makes sense to me. It's a change for us because we're so used to Commanders. All right, that'll be a top five pick. That'll be a top 10 pick. And now it's a later first round pick. And this year, you're starting to dive into this. What we hear is not as many quarterbacks, maybe not as juicy of a class as it was last year. How are you feeling about the draft board as we get rolling here?
I think it's been interesting to see. So, like, I can look at it from, if I look at, like, how many people are using our mock draft simulator and our big board tool, we found that towards the end of the season, interest was way down on the draft. And I think I would put that down to the quarterbacks. There's not a lot of receivers at the top of this class.
Sure.
Over the last couple of weeks, though, as people have started to realize it's a great edge defender class, there's good defensive linemen, good offensive linemen, all those things, interest has really started to pick back up again. And I think I saw Daniel Jeremiah suggest that the players from, like, 25 to 60 in this class are all quite closely tied together. So I think it's a really interesting class when you get into the mid to late first round, all the way into the back end of the second round, because there's a lot of good players in the trenches.
And, you know, that's how you build a football team these days, and we see the running back coming back into prominence. How do you guys, do you quantify the role of the running back increasing, decreasing that value? And it felt like, you know, Saquon and Derrick Henry switching teams, maybe a pivotal moment and people coming back around on, oh, running backs, yeah, we need one.
It's going to be fascinating to see, because I think, so when you look at what Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry did this year, they are force multipliers for a good offensive system. So if you have a good offensive system, like a good offensive line that the Eagles have, or you have someone like Lamar Jackson that opens things up for a running back like the Ravens do, an elite running back is a force multiplier that can take your offense to another level. What I worry about for some of the teams further back in the NFL is that they'll look at this season and they'll go, oh, all we need to do to take our offense from fifth worst in the NFL to top three,
yes,
is draft a running back,
yes,
pay a running back, and not worry about the kind of ecosystem you have around those guys. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see this offseason, how much teams who struggled this past year lean into that.
It's you need the O-line too. You need the scheme too. You need everything else as well. Is there a name you want to throw out, a guy, free agent, draft, anything you feel isn't getting enough love right now that we're going to get excited about here over the next few months?
There's an edge defender from Central Arkansas called David Walker, who one of our data analysts at PFF suggested him to me that we weren't high enough on him yet on the big board.
Okay.
And I watched a little bit of his film, and he grades really well for us, but because it's FCS, it's going against lesser competition, so you always want to consider that. So I looked at his couple of games against FBS competition, and he has some nice wins in there, isn't getting pushed a lot around the running game, things like that. And he had a nice week in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, I think. So he's a guy who probably isn't going to go in the first round, but I think is a realistic day two option that I think is going to wind up having a pretty good NFL career.
I love the FCS guys. That's always fun when they arise. Gordon McGinnis joining us for another minute here from Pro Football Focus. And you guys do the college now. How well does that translate? Have you guys, I would assume you've looked into that, right? Does a well-graded player in college translate, or is it not always that simple?
It's not always that simple. There are different metrics that are stickier converting from the college to the pros. So for quarterbacks, things like turnover worthy play rate, like how often a quarterback puts the ball into harm's way, that generally stays pretty true from college to the NFL. From a grades perspective, things like linebackers, because you get linebackers in college that are going up against lesser athletes than they will see in the NFL, it is easier for those guys to have high college grades, and then they get into the NFL and their own athletic limitations prevent them from being the same type of player they were in college.
That's fascinating stuff. Gordon, thank you for taking a few minutes with us. I know a lot of what you do is kind of internal focus, but people can visit Pro Football Focus and get your insights?
Yeah, you'll find stuff written on PFF.com. There's some stuff that I write there, and also it's draft season, so our lead draft analyst, Trevor Sikkema, you'll find a lot of him.
Man, it's draft season. It comes fast. Senior Bowl, here we go. Getting ready for it. Still, I feel like I'm always ready for draft season, but this year it's like, oh, I enjoyed that season. Like, you know, maybe we'll live in that for a couple seconds longer before we turn the page.
I think you'll probably find for the Commanders that's going to be the way for the next few years at least.
You can come on anytime you want. All right, Gordon McGinnis, Pro Football Focus, thanks for joining us. Bud Light Big Game Week rolls on. We're live in New Orleans Radio Row. Excited to spend another half hour with you. Then we'll hand it over to A1 Radio. Grant and Danny drive you home later tonight. You're listening to Richmond's home for the most big game talk. This is 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Still celebrating, still in the glow of the Washington Commanders season here. And love chatting with all these guests, all these celebrity folks we have on. And you always say, hey, how about the Commanders? Oh, yeah, what a great season. Right, had Moose Johnson on earlier. How about the Commanders? Yeah, man, I like Dan Quinn, but I didn't realize he turned around that quick. Certainly helps when you got number five. Certainly helps when you got a quarterback. And they're the buzz right now. Because it's not just Jaden. Jaden's great, obviously. And he's walking around here on Radio Row today. And certainly a lot of people want to talk to him as kind of identifying him as the next big thing. It's not just him, though. It's the cap space. It's the draft picks. They're fully loaded here for the next few years. They're in a great space to go make things happen. And I think that they will this offseason with Adam Peters letting him do some cooking. Should be a fun offseason. Whatever they want to spend, I'm comfortable with. If they want to push the chips in, I'm comfortable with that. If they don't want to push the chips in, I'm comfortable with that as well, knowing that you got two more seasons to take advantage of that. I said we were going to rank the Washington Commanders' wins this season. Maybe I'll throw a couple losses on the board at the end as well, because I think they had some good losses, or at least some ones that I wasn't bummed out after. Top to bottom here. I am going to throw the playoff games in. I think it's the fairest way to do this. If you're ranking them top to bottom, I think you've only got two legitimate options here. And by the way, I'll say in a second we get to number three, I think Dan Quinn and the players would tell you it's number three. I think you've got two legitimate options here. I think one of them is beating the Lions in the playoffs, obviously. What a great win. You go to Detroit, you handle your business against the number one seed in the NFC. Phenomenal football game. We'll be remembering that one for a long time. Not just that they won. Winning is fun, right? The UVA basketball motto under Tony Bennett, you are having fun. Yeah, your team's winning, you're having fun. It doesn't matter if the defense looks like watching paint dry. If you're winning, you're having fun in sports. That was a fun game, period. The other one, of course, is the Hail Mary. I think the reason it's the Detroit game and not the Hail Mary is because that was one play. And I don't know that the rest of that game was anything special. That was Jaden playing through the rib injury, 18-15. I think that's number two, though. It's an iconic moment. It is. And what he was able to do and what he powered through, and then to throw that pass at the end, turn the crowd from elation into are you fixing my audio here? Wow, that got a lot better a lot quicker. It's amazing what happens when a trained professional drops by. So we're ranking the Washington Commanders' wins this season. Number one, Detroit game, obviously. I think that's an easy call. Number two, I am going with the Hail Mary. It's an iconic play. We're going to be talking about it for a long time. The swing of emotion inside that stadium that day was fantastic. The swing of emotion inside FedEx Field to go from, all right, loss, he's 6-3, runner 5-3, running the numbers. You know, this may or may not be a playoff team, too. We're 6-2. We just beat a really good football team because everybody thought they were at the time. That's number two for me. Now, I think if you ask Dan Quinn, and I think if you ask the players, I think this because I have asked some of the players, they will tell you their favorite win of the season was against the Atlanta Falcons to make the playoffs. That's people inside the building say is their favorite win of the 2024 Washington Commanders season. I will tip my hat to them and rank that at number three. On our list of Commanders' wins this season. They say that because, and especially for the longtime guys, like getting a chance to talk to, you know, your John Allens and your Tress Ways, your dudes who have been here, they felt like they had a home crowd that was on their side and believed in them that night. They felt like they had a crowd behind them and pulling for them and believing in them
And that's something they hadn't had yet in Washington. There had been moments, but they were prove-me moments, right? There had been games throughout the Dan Snyder era where, like, oh, okay, when they win this one, we're going to get excited. But they never won that one. Whatever that was, they never got over that hump, whether it was Kirk Cousins or, you know, Ron Rivera, whatever it was. Hey, come on out. We need you, fans. They never did it. They felt like in that one there was belief, there was a home crowd, and of course, an overtime Jaden Daniels win doesn't hurt anything. You get to walk into the locker room, put on some hats, celebrate an NFC playoff appearance. So I think they'd tell you that's number one. I'm going to put it at number three on my list. Number four on my list. I'm going to go 4 and 5 back-to-back here. I'm going to say the Arizona Cardinals win because it aged very well. Because it turned out that Kyler Murray's a good player, and it turned out that the Cardinals were good and had some moments this season. That wasn't an empty calorie win. We'll get to the Cleveland win. It was nice to beat up Cleveland. It was fun to watch Marcus Mariota play a whole fourth quarter of football. I don't know that we learned a lot that day. We learned these guys weren't bad. Hey, winning's fun. Winning's fun at any level. But the Cardinals game, that was a butt-kicking against a team that has that acquitted itself well over the course of the rest of the year. 42-14, Cliff Kingsbury revenge game. Everything's humming offensively. And you just feel like, okay, there's something special developing here. And then you go to my number five Commanders win this season, of course, is the week before the Monday Nighter in Cincinnati, which I think also has aged better than people give it credit for. Oh, since they didn't make the playoffs. Joe Burrow's great. And they were just, Jaden and Joe were just dueling. Throw. Every score was answered with another score. And then you put it in Terry's breadbasket, seal it late in the game, 38-33. I think those are like your top-tier, really, really great wins. Those are the ones I'm most excited about. So then we drop off after that to a second tier of, like, I had a lot of fun that day. I think you start with the Tampa playoff win in that tier. Nothing wrong with the playoff win ever. I would say that the Tampa win was as much about Tampa making mistakes as it was about Washington playing great football. I don't know that they would tell you that was their best game of the season, but they did enough to put themselves in a position to win that game when Tampa made the mistake. I think that was the key. And then you doink the field goal in. All of a sudden, you're in the second round of the playoffs. There's a little buzz, a little momentum. People like what they see. Counting down the top Commanders wins of the season. I'm going unoriginal. So you're supposed to go worst to first. I'm going first to worst. We're working our way down the list here. Tennessee Titans win, not so much because of who they beat. They're the Titans, but because of the circumstances on that. Coming off of a 3-game losing streak, coming off of some tough games, losing to a Dallas team that everybody said he had no business losing to. Bobby Wagner rallies the troops. Jaden starts playing well again. You get the running game going a little bit. That was a very satisfying win as well. From there, we're going to the Eagles. The Eagles win, and then the Saints win. Both great last-second final drive wins. We got so many of those to pick from. That's part of the fun of this season. The Eagles win with Jaden Daniels taking the team on his back down the stretch. What we saw there in that game from Jaden, his ability to say, okay, we're going to win, and I'm going to be the person who does this for us. Everybody jump in the 5 car. We're going for a ride. New Orleans, a little different. That was a defensive stop on the 2-point conversion. Definitely changes the arc of the season if the Saints get that 2-point conversion. Here in the shadow of the Superdome, a big moment. And you talk about lucky breaks, unquestionably a lucky break. But also, this team was out a few lucky breaks. This team had bad breaks for 27 years under Dan Snyder. So I'm not going to complain about a nice break every now and then. The Giants win. They were in Tier 3 wins. The Giants wins, Tier 3 wins. The one on the road kind of grinded that out, got to 7-2, dealt with Jaden being injured. But also the Giants at home, where their kicker gets injured on the opening kickoff, his first kick of the game. You win 21-18 because they couldn't kick their 3 extra points. Nobody foresaw greatness at that point, but it came. It arrived. Panthers win, of course, gets put in that group as well. It's satisfying to beat the Panthers because it feels like you're beating Ron Rivera a little bit. And then finally, don't forget, preseason win at Commanders Field over the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football, 20-10. It is a fun season. We've enjoyed coming along for the ride with you guys on 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Home of the Commanders in Richmond, most Commanders talk in town, and certainly plenty of Commanders talk coming at you all week from Radio Row here in New Orleans. The buzz is growing. The hype is growing. I know Awad's got a great show. He'll tell us all about it on the other side, and I've got a very important question for him because I see that the Washington Wizards have made a trade, and I am wildly unqualified to comment on a Washington Wizards trade. So we'll bring in an expert. We'll get to the bottom of some stuff. It's the Wednesday edition. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to
95.1 FM. Welcome back to Bud Light. Big game week from New Orleans. It's Wednesday. We've hit the halfway point. Things are just getting better from here. Star-studded lineup for you today. Opening up with our first special guest, Daryl Johnston, runs the UFL. That, of course, is the two spring football leagues merged and became the UFL last year. Very successful season. You remember him as Moose, of course, as well. Good morning. How's it going?
I'm great. How you doing?
Doing great. Here, I'm going to crank you up a little bit.
There we go.
There we go.
That's better.
We're making radio here. We know what we're doing. So I'll get to everything. You know, you guys are cooking in a second, but you know, as a former guy in the NFC East, what'd you make of the Commanders this season?
Awesome. Awesome season for him. Dan Quinn is one of the more special people that's in the NFL family, so I was so happy for him. I knew he would turn it around quickly, but I didn't expect championship game in year
one. Nobody did.
But to have him, Adam Peters, and Jaden Daniels all come in the same year and have that success and now to be able to build off of that is awesome. I think he learned a lot in Atlanta with the experience there. He comes back to Dallas. He spent a lot of time just looking at how you could do things differently. He took that time to grow. And I hope that Mike McCarthy does that same thing. I know that Mike was in the coaching cycle initially, but now has stepped out of it as a lot of those positions were filled. And I hope Mike does the same thing that Dan did. And just, hey, let's take a long, hard look at where I can get better. You know, where did I think I could have been better? And I was the reason we didn't achieve the success that we should have in Dallas. So I think Dan spent a lot of time reflectively after that opportunity in Atlanta, and I think it's paying huge dividends right now for him in Washington.
How about the Cowboys? Where do they go from here? You've got, you know, you still got the core. You're not blowing it up, but it's a tricky spot.
Yeah, if you wanted to keep the core, why didn't you keep the core with Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
So the only thing that I can really piece together is Mike McCarthy, the entire staff, did not have a contract.
Yep.
So it's not like Jerry's bringing Mike in on that Monday and saying, hey, we got to figure out whether we're going to continue forward with this contract or we're going to go in a different direction. They've got to start from scratch. So I think that you walk in and Mike says, here's my request, you know, to stay here. And I think it caught Jerry off guard. you know, if you look around the NFL and where does Mike McCarthy lay compared to other NFL head coaches, to get an idea of what the value is, and Sean Payton is one of the ones that jumps out. You know, they each have won a Super Bowl. You know, they're very, very similar in their careers. So I'm sure it was something along the lines of what Sean Payton was getting paid in Denver.
And obviously,
something you step away from.
Yeah,
exactly. But when you step away from that, you're into the process. You don't have any staff in place at that time.
Yeah.
You're deep into the cycle, so a lot of the coaches that were at the top of people's lists have already signed on. So Mike had all the leverage he wanted going into that meeting on that Monday, and I think he really caught the Cowboy organization off guard, and they had to just kind of shift, pivot very quickly and make another move. And I felt like they got caught by surprise, and that's the one scenario that I've heard people kind of play out that makes sense to me.
Yeah, he catches you off guard, and here we are, you know, and everything spins from there. Daryl Johnson joining us on Radio Row here, Vice President of Football Operations for the UFL, United Football League. Back this year, better than ever. Tell us about what you guys are cooking this year.
Yeah, it's amazing where we are this year going into season two UFL, you know, from where our journey in the USFL started and where from Russ Brandon's journey in the XFL started, you know, to open up our headquarters last week and have, you know, 110,000 square feet of awesome office space and all eight teams together, all of our support staff around each other. And it's one of the things that we look at, right? Because we are a single owner entity. So, you know, it's not like all eight of our teams are going to one spot and they're staying there all day and then they're going home. We got a little bit of nomadic culture involved in how we do things, and we meet here and we practice here, and you know, strength and performance is over here. And so anything we can do to make the players day to day a little bit easier is something that we always strive for. And we really feel that this headquarter location is going to be a huge part of that. And the biggest thing is it just, you know, it's kind of a putting a flag down in the city of Arlington, and they've been tremendous teammates for us in the DFW area. So there's a ton of positives going on. And from year one to where we are now, you had to be kind of a salesman year one, whether you were talking to an agent or talking to a player and trying to convince them to come to, you know, to play spring football, because, you know, there's been so many failures with really good people involved. And so to convince them that this one had great backing and it was sustainable and we are going to be around for a long time, we're starting to be able to show that is true, and we don't have to sell as much. And I think we have more talented players coming our way. You know, to see an Adrian Martinez come to us last year, and now he's up with the Jets. We've got Max Duggins coming in this year. So quarterback is always that key position, whether it's the NFL or the UFL. So those are great things. We had to make a coaching change this year, and we called Ken Wisenhunt 2 years ago, and he was a consultant at Alabama, and he very flattered, but, you know, I'm happy with what I'm doing right now. Well, Ken calls us this year. So we hired Tom Cable and Mark Colombo as offensive line coaches. So we're starting to get not just great players coming our way and having that belief and that trust that this is going to be around for a while and this is something that can help them with their careers, but it's also for our coaches, you know, that miss football. And, you know, the game has changed so much from a time consumption standpoint when you look at the NFL and you look at college, that we are that area where they, for the love of the game, they can come there and not have their entire calendar year eaten up. They have time to spend with family. So if they're missing football and missing that day-to-day and the interaction with the players, they can come down to the UFL and still get that fixed, but still have some quality time with the family.
I also like what you guys have done, innovative stuff on the TV side, and obviously I think that's probably easier being where you are. Now, you were part of the broadcast booth on Fox with Goose, and you guys kind of pushed forward NFL broadcasts. So just, now that you're here, how do you approach, because it is a TV product, fundamentally, football just is now. How do you guys approach that end of it where you're maybe able to do some things the big league here can't or won't do?
Yeah, it's great to be young and agile, right? So, you know, we do things differently than the NFL, and we embrace technology. Scott Harneman is great, who is our director of IT, and he's, you know, working on something this year. We were just able to partner with the East-West Shrine Game and do kind of a trial with something we hope is going to be, you know, very innovative this season. So you may see it in small doses until we really get it worked out. But again, you know, we're always pushing that envelope. And for me, it was hard because as a player And then being involved in the NFL broadcast, there are certain areas that you're not allowed into. And, you know, I always refer to those as earned spaces. So, you know, the everyday fan can't come into the NFL huddle, can't come into the NFL locker room. You know, you've got to earn the right to get into that space. And to be able to access those spaces in the spring leagues and see the reaction from viewers has been very eye-opening to me, where, you know, it's just so cool. And then when I watch the broadcast, I'm like, all right, stop being that curmudgeon and you know, just, you know, let people come in and kind of see a part of the game that they haven't seen. And some of my favorite things from the course of the season are the interactions with our head coaches on the sideline with the players in the middle of the game, in the heat of the battle, and to watch their personalities and how they manage situations. I think Skip Holtz, you know, shows why his quarterbacks are always successful, the relationship that he has there. You know, just in the huddle, you know, being able to see the demeanor and the leadership of our quarterbacks, you know, in certain points of the game. And it's kind of that slippery slope we walk down, because it's so much fun to watch our broadcasts on television that we may be our own worst enemy in getting people to come into the stadium.
Sure.
So, you know, that's our big focus this year is how do we increase the attendance and get people to start coming into the stadium. You know, we are not in market, you know, with our teams on a weekly basis. You know, so how do we make that work, you know, off that hub model where we build that connection between the roster and the players and the fan base and the home market? So we're continuing to work at that. But I really feel, to your point, that kind of the cutting-edge technology that we incorporate into our TV broadcasts is also playing a role in why people are tending to stay home and watch it on television as opposed to coming to the game. So can we bring that onto the Jumbotron the stadium?
There you go.
So you're at the stadium, and you've still got that interactive component that we get to see on television.
That's cool. Time for one more here with Moose Johnston. UFL kicks off this spring, obviously, once we wrap up the Super Bowl here. How gratifying was it to see the running back position reemerge this year? Yeah. Saquon, Derek, it was a good year to be a running back.
It really was. It's been probably about 18 months. You know, got for a while there. When you have to have a group of guys get together and say, hey, we are feeling undervalued here in the NFL, and they've always been a key component. And you could see the shift a little bit. Obviously, you're leaning on the pass game a little bit more. You know, the jailbreak screens and a lot of the different things, you know, playing the position on the outside in the passing game. I mean, passes thrown behind the line of scrimmage is something that we didn't really talk about a whole lot when I was playing. So there's different elements that are coming into the game that we're taking away from that running back spot. And, you know, just from a business standpoint, how many owners were really willing to commit to a guy on that second contract? If you really did, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's a perfect example. I mean, his stats on his first contract are phenomenal. I mean, I challenge people to go back and look at Ezekiel Elliott and look at his statistics and just see how great of a player he was and how hard Dallas leaned on him. And then sometimes that diminishes the value for that second contract. So there's that part that the players brought to the table that I thought was legitimate. And how do we work that? And then have a guy like Saquon go out this year with all the concerns about the injuries throughout his career at 28 years old and have a 2,000-yard season. You know, Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. I mean, it's just amazing to watch him. Nick Chubb, getting Nick Chubb back and hopefully more healthy next year. You know, those are some of the key guys that are doing it. But I was really, really excited to see Green Bay, you know, go out and commit to the running back position and then really lean on Josh Jacobs there, you know, for the success that they had this year. So I thought it was a great year for the running back. I'm really, really happy for all the guys.
That's awesome. Fullback's next.
Fullback's next. Well, if the running back is going, it's going because there was a fullback in front of him. So we got to get. It's more selective in the NFL, and I get it, but we've got, I mean, you look at a Kyle Juszczyk and a Patrick Ricard. I mean, it's two completely different body types and what they do for the offense, but they're both huge in those offenses. So I've always just felt the fullback was an undervalued position, and hopefully we start adding some value to that.
All right, thanks for making some time for us to tell everybody how they can watch the UFL this spring here.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be on Fox. It'll be on ABC, ESPN. I think 74% of our games are on the big networks, and then we kick it off Friday night with Fox. Fox does a Friday night in college football, a Friday night in college basketball, so we're going to do Friday nights in the UFL, so we're kicking off March 28th with St. Louis at Houston.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you. Moose Johnston joining us. We're back with more after this. You're listening to Bud Light Big Game Week on 910 The Fan.
Mike, 910
The Fan, 105.1 FM. It's Bud Light Big Game Week. We're in New Orleans all week long chatting with the people who are closest to the game. Loving the insights. I I chatted with our guy Grant the other day. I feel like Grant and I booked the same kind of guests, football guys. I like having football guys on to talk football, especially this year. It's just been so fun with all the buzz around the Commanders. Some good insights. Back from stalking Jaden Daniels, please welcome to the program, AWOD Radio. What can you report us about number five's whereabouts here?
Yes, number five has entered the building. He took a full lap, I believe he did, several media outlets before stopping at Mike and Mike, Mike Golick Sr., Mike Golick Jr., interviewing him. I saw his mom, who's proud of her son, watching, smiling, watching the interview. I mean, it's got to be so cool that a rookie here is, I mean, probably the biggest name in the building right now, right?
Oh, no question. No question. He is going to cross over into bona fide celebrity territory soon.
And yet he's still humble. I mean, you guys saw I posted a video on AWOD Radio of a fan stopping, asking for a selfie. It's a Go Commanders, great season. He smiled a little bit. A little bit.
I think he made a connection.
Yeah.
I think he made a connection.
He kept it moving, but there's some real energy. You know, I had somebody ask me, what's the energy like, you know, in the building? Today, it is electric.
This is what I feel like this was what Thursday and Friday were like in Vegas. Like, we're a day ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
And things are only going to get better.
100%. Pat McAfee was here. I stopped by his set, saw him talking with people. So this is when the big dogs show up.
Let me ask you something. Macy, our intern, she's lovely. She's helping us out. She's doing social on the fan. I sent her up to get me a cup of hot water.
Yeah.
And she was like, she was fully willing to do it. Like, that's her duty here. Like, she wasn't fighting that. She's like, do you want some tea? Do you want some honey? Like, no, I just want a cup of hot water. She called that sociopathic behavior, Adam.
Well, I was wondering, did you bring your personal tea bag? Do you have, like,
no?
Throat coat? Have you ever heard of that? Like, when you're dealing with a sickness?
Throat coat.
Yeah.
You got to let me in on these radio secrets.
Throat. I mean, can we even say throat coat on air? Throat coat is a type of tea bag that has, like, special honey in it, I think, so that it helps your throat out. But you just... So you didn't put tea. I thought she brought the hot water and you had like your personal tea bag that you had brought in with you or something.
Nope.
So you just drank hot water.
Yes.
Yeah, that is sociopathic.
Well, isn't...
That's crazy.
If you drink a cup of cold water, that's normal. If you drink a cup of room temperature water, that's normal.
No, that's not as normal either. If you're drinking, I mean, at room temperature bottled water, maybe. Room temperature cup of water? No, that's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hot water, that's...
And that's insane.
That's insane behavior.
Yes, because there's absolutely no taste. You've completely numbed your mouth now, and you're just putting liquid in your body.
It's water. It's water. Lots of people enjoy water. It's the world's most popular beverage.
Right, but the temperature does matter. I mean,
Adam,
should I serve you a cold steak? No, we cooked it, but then we just left it in the fridge overnight. So
that's a little tartar, right? A little something there.
The tartar last night, though, was great.
That was a tuna tartare.
Yes.
And it was fantastic.
Yes. It's great when they serve food in a spoon so you can just pick it up, slurp it, and throw it away. It was simple.
It was a walk-around situation. They had a lot of booze representing all the different restaurants of New Orleans so we could try them all in one place.
Yes.
Did you have a favorite?
Vittles and Tittles.
You definitely can't say that on the radio.
That was the name of the company.
You definitely can't say that.
That was the name of the company. And they had the mac and cheese with sausage and the wings. So you let me just do a little inside radio here. Michael Phillips basically went straight to the dessert.
Yeah. Well, here's
it
what
kind of upset me. You didn't follow the order of operations. Like,
right,
I went
your coffee's
appetizer
here, by the way,
to lunch to dinner. Like, I went through all of the food there. You literally went king cake, which is like what New Orleans is known for, right?
Yeah.
This great cake.
Yeah.
To then shrimp gumbo.
Yeah.
To then beignets. To then back to more like dirty rice.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that. My palate can't go back and forth like that.
In school, when you had your lunchbox, did you eat the dessert first or the meal first?
The meal first.
No. No, you always ate the dessert first.
No chance, dude. No, I actually always ate my meal first, and then I was one of those fat kids that would go back in line and say, can I get two of those chocolate chip cookies?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, when I opened the lunchbox,
yeah,
always dessert first. And then,
wow,
then if we got time, we'll work backwards from there.
It's crazy because you are the skinniest person in radio.
Yeah, well, I'm walking a lot. we're getting our workout here, too. We're putting in our steps every day.
I have a question for you, and hopefully you can reveal this on air.
Sure. Open book.
You dropped me off at my hotel. Did you walk straight home?
No.
Did you go to the casino?
No.
Oh, I had a vision. Because did you tell a story? You won like what, $300 or something?
I did $180. I did not tell the casino story, but I should obviously.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow.
It's a so wild story.
I thought you were hot and just going to go back to the casino.
No, I'm hot, so I'm never going back to the casino. Okay. I told my Mitch Tischler. It broke apart from his group. Like, we had two competing groups last night. Like, our group, which was the fun group, and then the other group, which was, you know, Mitch and Grant Paulson and them. Not that they're not fun. They're just not as fun as us. So they had texted us, like, what are you guys doing? No answer, because we were having fun at the time. They all called it a night. Mitch texted me. He's like, I don't want to call it a night. Are you still out? And I was like, yeah, I'm marginal right now. Like, I'll do one. So he's going to meet me at the bar next to the hotel. So we went over there, watched the end of the Bronny game, the Lakers and the Clippers.
Okay.
Just the two.
The Bronny game. The LeBron game.
No.
The Bronny game.
By the time we were there, Bronny was playing. So it became the Bronny game in my mind at that point. Just a little mandate, you know, just the two of us having a nice time in New Orleans, drinking a Bud Light. Then I walked back to the hotel. Did not set foot in the casino. But I will say this. I enjoyed our casino trip yesterday because they turned on the VCU game for us, and that was nice.
Yes, and I will be going back to collect my winnings.
Nicely done.
VCU minus 18 and a half.
I will say this, though. For now, there's one casino in this town, and I think that gives them certain competitive advantages. That TV needs to be upgraded. Full stop. That was a standard def television. We watched that game on.
I mean, 720, I feel like, would be nice to them, right? It was like 480.
I don't think it was a 720.
Yeah.
I don't think we were playing that ballpark.
And it's a giant video board, too. And they could have JPEGs crystal clear, right? But not the game.
Yeah. They got
their logo, you could literally see every detail in the logo.
Got some things they need to work on, but also, again, they're the only one in town.
Yeah.
So that's the game.
Yeah.
3 hours of AWOD Radio coming up from New Orleans, Bud Light Big Game Week. What we got cooking?
Yeah, recap of the action last night. The Washington Wizards made a trade. You wanted to ask me about that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like this trade.
But then I got called a sociopath for drinking hot water, so we had to address that first.
Yeah, I don't like this trade for Washington. I do think they probably missed the boat, should have traded Kyle Kuzma last year. But we will have Joey Porter Sr. on the show today.
Oh, let's go.
David Harrison as well, Commanders beat reporter. And, you know, whoever stops by. I mean, I almost had Jaden Daniels. I did talk to him.
You had a good 6 seconds with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
So we'll relive that over and over. AWOD Radio up next. You're listening to the home of Bud Light Big Game Week. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.